Be seated, please. Dr. Samah Mansour.
Thank you. On behalf of my father, Edward, myself, my wife, Joanne, and our children, I would like to thank all of you for coming to pay respects to my mother, Naima Mansour. I would like to especially recognize those that have traveled from afar to be here to share your comfort with us at this time, like my Tante Yvonne and my cousin Albert from Hamilton, and my mother-in-law, Mrs. Dickie DeBoer, as well as my sister-in-law, Carolyn, and her husband, Henry, and my brother-in-law, Henry. Also, our visitors from Montreal and Toronto. There are so many people I would like to thank for sharing their love and time with my mother and father, particularly in her last years. But I think especially of Megdi and Iman Farid, whom I thank for not only opening their home to us at this time, but all their generous love and support to my mother and father, Camelia and Uncle Megdi Kyriakos, the Gawargi family, and many others. I especially want to thank Nosri and Rhonda Rufael for their continuous and sustained love and support for both my mother and father, which we will never forget. And are eternally grateful for. Truly, there are not enough words that I can ever hope to put together to express the deep gratitude and love that our family has for all what you have done for my mother and father. May the love of Christ that you manifested for her and my father continue to bless you both for the years to come. In addition, I also would like to thank Father Shenouda, Father Michael, Father George, and Father Anthony, who could not be here, and the congregations of all the Coptic Orthodox churches in Ottawa, also for their love, support, and service to our family over the many years. And certainly last, but by no means least, I especially want to thank our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for his unwavering love, mercy, patience, and support for not only my mother, but myself, the rest of the Mansour family, and essentially everyone here present. To him go out my sincerest and deepest thanks. There are so many of you who have shown love to our family in the past years, months, and even days that I cannot mention them all. Gifts of phone calls to my father, visits with my mother, and more food than you could imagine. Our Lord knows of your love and devotion to my mother and our family, and we are so grateful. Please forgive me for not mentioning everyone by name. For the sake of brevity, and I really mean it, I will give a very brief chronological summary of my mother's life for those that are not familiar with her. My mother was born in 1924, yes, 1924, in Cairo, Egypt, the youngest of three children. Her father passed away before she reached her eighth birthday, and she and her mother were taken in and raised by her uncle. In 1959, my mother and father married, and 10 months later, I was born. God did not bless them with more children, so she resigned herself that this was the Lord's will, that I would be a single child. Many of you remember that she would often joke that the Lord was performing an act of mercy and kindness to her and the rest of the world, that there was only one offspring like Sam. Apparently, terms such as naughty or mischievous were gross understatements to describe my behavior as a child. I know she shared many stories of my activities as a youth with the younger mothers in the church, providing them with ample hope for them and their children that their suffering was not unique. In 1967, we immigrated to Canada, first landing and staying in Montreal thanks to the encouragement and support of my late Uncle William and Tante Yvonne. Thanks to my mother's fluency in French, she was able to interact easily with the Quebec society and did not have to be dependent socially on the very few Egyptian families that existed in Montreal. Growing up at that time, I remember the many qualities that my mother possessed, particularly in dealing with people. My mother essentially saw the best in people when she first met them. Any of you that interacted with her would immediately be acquainted with her hospitality and welcoming nature. Her genuine love for all the families and people she interacted with was easily felt. Her generosity with people and causes was limitless, as my poor father knows all too well. I can remember he would come home from work on a few occasions and found two nicely dressed men, either from the Jehovah's Witness or Mormon Church, sitting and discussing their faith with my mother. Those of you who know my father can only guess what took place next. Suffice it to say that they usually didn't come back. My father continuously guarded my mother's naivete, which left unchecked would have resulted in her giving at the least half their income and belongings to perceived needy causes. My mother also had a very good sense of humor, as many of you know, and sharp wit. I learned all the most descriptive adjectives in the Arabic language from gash, saya, khanzir, particularly as it was used on me for good reason. My mother was very much a woman of principle. A wrong was a wrong, or a right was a right, no matter who did it. She never played favorites with me, her only son. Whenever the school teacher, principal, or parent criticized me for any shortcomings, the assumption was guilty until proven otherwise. She taught and expected that I would go the extra distance, whatever the situation called for. She genuinely believed that this character was fundamental to being obedient to the Lord. She definitely was of the school that failure was not an option, as my father and I knew all too well. She was very loyal to her church and church community, yet she also had the deepest of relationships with people outside the Egyptian community. I think especially of Tan Shaila and Uncle Giri Rao, and Uncle David and Tan Evelyn Borthwick. As recent immigrants to Canada in the mid-1960s, they formed a friendship that endures to this day. And I'm so pleased to see their children here with us at this remembrance of her life. She would be so pleased to see you both here. My mother was also a woman ahead of her time. I remember when she started yoga in the late 1960s and spending amazing amounts of time doing headstands and other body contortions for endless hours. After her breast cancer, she became very healthy conscious, and extremely aware of not only what she put in her body, but also what she exposed her body to. Many of you, especially my father and I, became intimately familiar with such terms as organic food, reflexology, color therapy, way before they entered into common usage. She was eating quinoa and kale long before it became popular to do so. While we were pretty merciless in teasing her about it at that time, I'm sure now that many of these practices contributed to her longevity and youthful appearance. She had us all fooled about her age. Sorry, Mom, the secret's out. But probably the most enduring quality my mother possessed was that she was a fighter. From her dealings with breast cancer and finally the dementia, she exhibited grace under pressure. In 1975, when Mom was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer, I saw firsthand what the effects of both chemotherapy and radiation therapy do to the body, those being administered after her radical mastectomy. Many know that my mother was a very beautiful woman who took pride in her appearance. You would expect that someone like her would be devastated to have her body mutilated by this disease and its treatment. Yet this is where I began to not only see the fighter that my mother was, but also, now looking back at it with more knowledgeable eyes, the workings of the Lord in her life. More about that later. While she was recovering from her mastectomy in Montreal General Hospital, I remember how her doctor would ask her to speak and encourage the many young ladies undergoing this procedure. These women were truly devastated, and often we would hear them crying as we passed their rooms in the hallway, my father and I. She spoke to them of hope and the future. She displayed an inner strength and determination that my father and I had never seen before. This also carried over to her defense of people that she saw were being unfairly treated, particularly the clergy. Boy, you did not want to end up on the wrong side of the fence on that one with her, as my father knows all too well. Finally, The most significant character of my mother is, not was, that she deeply loved her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She was not a theologian or a great memorizer of scripture, especially in her early years. Her process of sanctification became perceptible to the rest of us after her episode with breast cancer, gradually increasing before and during her later years of the dementia. She began by increasing her reading of the Bible and long prayers many times a day, often with tears for myself, Dad, and my family, extended family, and to so many fellow parishioners. I would hear this through the bedroom walls, especially at night. In her final years, she became less and less interested in the trivial issues of life and more about my relationship with the Lord. Decades ago, she would call me each day to tell me how much she loved me in flowing Arabic terms like Bamut Fik and all the language that every Egyptian mother knows. However, recently, over the last few years, when I would say, you know, I love you, Mom, she would respond with firmness, no, love God first. And it was very strange. You're used to all these years, your mom addressing you like that. What is truly amazing for me is to see that even with a terrible disease such as dementia, the Lord still uses it for the individual sanctification. That should serve as a vivid reminder to those who would consider terminating such a life prematurely. Even when her own memory was severely deteriorating, she never forgot to recite the entire Lord's Prayer and recited it daily with Dad's encouragement for the past 9 years. I don't think I could conclude the speech without mentioning her grandchildren, the great joys of her life. She was so proud of each of them and loved to talk about them to all her friends. She sometimes would exaggerate about their antics and achievements, but always with the focus on wanting each of them to be better people than they already were. To my mother, I hope and pray that I will join you in paradise someday soon as the Lord sees fit. Your epitaph was drawn from the fourth chapter of St. Paul's letter to Timothy, where beginning at the sixth verse it reads, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Mom, I thank you for your love, patience, long-suffering, and guidance in my life. But I especially thank the Lord who guided you and us all these years for his unfailing love, patience, mercy, and forgiveness. To him be the glory always. Thank you."